Since God, let's take this time to open up the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 9. Lord's Day 9, this is a catechism that helps us understand a summary of the Bible's teachings. And in this particular section of the catechism, it focuses on the Apostles' Creed, breaking it down clause by clause, and so it begins with the Father, who the Father is. And so please respond to the question, Lord's Day 9, found on page 24 of your red booklets. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs them by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ, his Son, my God and my Father, in whom I so trust as to have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul, and further, that whatever evil he sends upon me in this valley of tears, he will turn to my good, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing also, being a faithful Father. Saints of God, it is always appropriate to begin with the Father when knowing and understanding who God is. How do we make of the world around us? How did it all start? And what is our purpose in this place called Earth? And from a biblical standpoint, you can't answer, you can't even begin to answer that question or any of those origin questions without first knowing who the Father is. The Father who made the heavens and the earth. And people in general, Christian or not, are incurably religious and have ingrained in them a desire to understand who they are and who God is. The Bible says that God has placed eternity into their hearts, into all of our hearts. And when it comes to God, every person wants or knows at least two things, wants to know at least two things. Is God there? And two, does he care? Is he there? Does he care? The Heidelberg Catechism answers both of these questions as it testifies to the teachings of Scripture. The living and true God has revealed to us who he is and how we can know him. The God who is there created all things, not just created all things, but specifically it says out of nothing. You want to get fancy, you can say ex nihilo. Sometimes we talk on those terms, which means God created all things by the power of his word. Psalm 33 says this, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let the earth fear the Lord, for he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood firm. God did not need a big bang or pre-existent matter to go through an evolutionary process to create the world. If God was a painter, it wasn't though he arrived at creation with a paintbrush already there and a canvas and some colors, and he just used his artistic ability to paint the world as he saw fit. No, God needs nothing. He depends on nothing. In fact, this teaching of ex nihilo also teaches us of our complete dependence on him. Acts 17 says this, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gave life to all. For in him we live, we move, and have our being. The God who is there made all things for his glory. We are dependent on him. We are made for his glory, to exalt his name. But also, he upholds and governs this creation by his eternal counsel and providence. In other words, God is not flying by the seat of his pants. He's not making things up as he goes along in history. God is not this cosmic chess player making the best moves possible, hoping everything is going to turn out the right way. God is neither is God kicking up his feet in heaven eating some popcorn watching a Netflix show called Life. God is in full control over all of his creation. God has a plan A that begins in Genesis for the world that he created, and he has never deviated from plan A to redeem a people for himself. Psalm 115 says, "Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases." Isaiah 55 says, "His ways are higher than our ways." And we can talk more about providence in the next Lord's Day, Lord willing. But by providence, we simply mean that God has a hands-on approach to everything that happens in this life. Nothing happens outside of his knowledge or outside of his control. That's the God who is there. But does he care? The Catechism fully recognizes the creation. That creation is indeed fallen. That evil exists. And we experience it on a daily basis. How can we trust God when he sends evil our way? How can we know that he will provide for us body and soul when he sends us pain and heartaches? How can we be comforted in this life that can be often a valley of tears? Because this God who made all things, who is in control of all things, who holds all power and authority over all things, is our Father. And we know him. We can quickly rush through the clauses of this catechism, but it makes all the difference. The eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is for the sake of Christ, my God, my Father. I've heard it said that without the cross, we would always be in doubt of God's love towards us. And in this is love, the scripture says, that not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It is the Father who sends his only Son to rescue us from the curse we have placed upon ourselves. It is the Father who crushed his Son so that our sins would not crush us for eternity. It is the Father who removes your sins as far as the east is from the west. And it is the Father who works all things for your good. We can trust the Father because we know who he is and what he has done through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.